you help to look after a family member or friend who has a disability, long-term condition or an addiction, you are a carer. Carers can get help, you know, and are entitled to rights. If this is you, give the folks at North Lanarkshire Carers Together a ring and they'll keep you right. Because carers have to know.
Welcome to the Carers Together podcast from the team at North Lanarkshire Carers Together. That, of course, was Scottish actor Jane McCarry of Still Game fame that you just heard. I'm Angela, a member of the team here, and in this episode, I talk to Motherwell-based GP Dr. Port from Moddervale Practice. We chat about the emotional impact of a caring role, how Dr. Port supports carers in her practice, and this year's Carers Week theme of making caring visible, valued and supported, which of course is important all year round. We also touch on the current cost of living crisis and the impact on carers' mental health and well-being. Just a note, we recorded this podcast in a busy practice, so apologies for the odd sound of doors banging now and again. So I began our interview by asking Dr. Port to fill me in on the main issues she sees carers come into her practice with.
To take it very broadly, kind of just exhaustion and people just being worn out and you know, struggling and doing their best and just being totally exhausted. But beyond that, you know, there's the, I suppose, the physical side of health issues, perhaps people who are maybe having to do moving and handling, who maybe haven't had the training for moving and handling, so they're just guddling and they're doing the best they can, and sometimes to the detriment of their own health. So, you know, joint pains, back pain, and then you've got kind of the poor sleep. So then you've maybe got people who are, they're either having to be up and down all night because the person they're caring for is needing attention, or maybe the cared for person doesn't sleep well, so therefore they're awake, and you're helping people up and down to the toilet. So there's all that aspect of it, and the poor sleep that then impacts how people are during the day. And then of course, you know, a real big issue with kind of low mood, depression, anxiety, maybe a feeling of hopelessness or helplessness, not knowing where to turn. And I think from our perspective, it's difficult actually, in that we might not always know that somebody is caring for somebody. So we only know what they tell us. So if we haven't known maybe that there's a role in the background that they are fulfilling at home, you might not, it can take a while to join the dots and realise that, that actually there is something else that's having an impact on that. But you know, a huge range of kind of health problems. And also, you know, people even who've got other their own health conditions, who maybe then, not deliberately, but they neglect their own health because they're so focused on the person that they're caring for that they kind of, they always put themselves second best. So they end up maybe, you know, ordering their own prescriptions in time because they're so focused on the person they're caring for, or not coming to their own appointments and their own reviews because that's not their priority. And I think their own health kind of slips further down the priority list, and that's a shame because it can end up destabilising everything.
I think that's a really, really important factor, isn't it? That somebody who is in that caring role is so focused on that the person they care for, and it's taking up such a lot of time every day that of course it's natural people start to deprioritize their own needs.
Absolutely, you see it so much, and it's hard sometimes even when you recognize it, and you know, you try and kind of maybe kind of pull people back to realizing that actually they're important too, but it's very hard sometimes to pull people out from that.
Yeah, and supporting people to recognise as well that being able to take care of themselves is a crucial element of them also being able to continue, if they wish to support
Absolutely.
The person they're
yeah.
caring for.
You know, it's if it gets to the stage that something's going to have to give, you know, then it's gone too far, really. Actually, you need to kind of look after yourself almost first in order that you can then be effective at being a carer. But very often it's all gone the other way round, and often it ends up, you'll be the same through the carers organisation, that unfortunately you end up becoming involved at a crisis point, whereas if we can try and get it a wee bit, if we could turn it around so that at the start of that journey people then had the links that they needed, maybe it might not reach, you know, the crisis point, and overall it would work a bit better. And I know that's what you lot are trying to get towards anyway.
Absolutely. It's that focus on preventative and anticipatory care, be that health care or social care. And making sure that, you know, we have all of that information linked in at the point of contact. And I suppose that's very much where somebody like yourself, you know, a GP, mm-hmm. where there is that kind of natural point of contact with a lot of people in caring roles, comes in.
Over the years, we've had information in our waiting room from the carers organisation, kind of encouraging people to flag up that they are in a caring role. Our practice nurses are very good at, when they're doing annual review appointments, you know, they're often very good at picking up if somebody's, you know, maybe struggling or whatever in conversation, because they've got a wee bit more time to be doing some general chit-chat. But again, you're kind of, it's almost kind of after the event. What we've lost maybe a wee bit over the last couple of years with kind of COVID restrictions, you've lost the kind of more subtle, you've maybe got a couple sitting in front of you, often, probably in those circumstances, often a bit more elderly perhaps, and maybe the person you're actually seeing, there's somebody in the background in the room, and you can see out the corner of your eye that either they're answering all the questions or nodding or shaking their head, or, you know, you can get a sense that they're trying not to be upset and they're trying to hold it together, and you would kind of get subtle visual cues that somebody is heavily involved here but is perhaps struggling. That's the bit that unfortunately I think has got a bit lost over the last couple of years, because although we've had lots of interactions with people, so much of it has been over the phone that you're losing those subtle visual cues. And I kind of hope we get back to that, because you know, it is important.
For somebody talking about their caring role, for a lot of people actually, it's a really difficult emotional thing to talk about, because I don't know about your experience, but in my experience, a lot of the time people that are caring are just working really hard, they're providing the care, they're doing the support, and like we said earlier, not looking after themselves or thinking about the emotional impact on themselves. So actually to kind of take that lid off the emotions and start to talk about it can be really,
I think it is almost kind of opening a can of worms for people, because I think so often for an individual, they are trying so hard to keep everything together. They're juggling so many different things, whether it's, you know, maybe in an older relationship, or you know, the kind of sandwich people, you know, where you've got children, elderly relatives. It's people are juggling so many things, and if you actually allow them to pause and think and talk about how it's affecting them. I think often when you start the conversation, what you'll get to begin with, or in my experience, is if you try and have that conversation, the first part of any information you get back is all about the cared for person. You know, so you'll say, you know, so how are you? Oh, well, my mum's got this and my mum's got that and the carer's this and, you know, she's got an appointment, and you're like, right, okay, yeah, I hear about your mum, but tell me about you. And actually it's very hard for people to do, because they've put themselves to one side you know, for so long, and they almost don't want to touch on that, because I think they kind of realise, if I start going down that route, I'm going to fall apart. And so it's like, no, just don't ask, I'll tell you about my mum. And I think one of the good things about the carers organisation, if we can get people linked into that, is just to give people a safe space to be able to talk honestly about themselves and how they're finding it without feeling judged about it. Or I think people sometimes feel a wee bit threatened almost, that they're worried that somebody's going to think that they're not caring properly for the person. So if they start having, you know, expressing things like they're not coping very well, or they're finding it difficult, or they go away into the dining room and shut the door and cry and then go back out and get on with it, that if they actually open up to that, that somebody's going to judge them as not managing, and really what they need is to support to continue to manage. So it's, it's a safe space to be able to be honest.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the fantastic things about a GP like yourself, who can have those really good conversations with people. And you obviously, you yourself represent that kind of safe space, don't you? And then we as the carer organisation, we're another place for people to come to talk to. And one of the things that has become really, really important to look at during the pandemic has been the impact on carers' mental health and wellbeing. I think from what I'm hearing on the ground, you know, we are reaching, if not already, quite frankly, in a crisis for carers with mental health and wellbeing. Yeah. And, you know, for us, the carer organisation, very much what we do is spend the time talking to people, but also signposting people to the really good services that can support them with that in a variety of different ways.
Absolutely.
But obviously, the isolation that's been experienced by carers throughout the pandemic, especially if they've been caring for someone who's been shielding, that isolation has just had a huge, huge impact.
It's been huge. I mean, I have to say, not only for carers. I mean, we're seeing that across a whole range of our kind of registered patients, but in particular for carers, I think it's been a very lonely place to be, and it has put a huge burden on carers. And obviously, there's a whole range of, you know, people's caring roles are all very different, and there's no one size fits all. But because through the pandemic, all the other support networks then were shut down. So the lunch clubs, the daycare, the going out for coffee, even just keeping the routine of things. You know, so for people who maybe care for somebody with dementia, and routine was important. The loss of being able to go to the coffee shop or go to the shops or anything, just to kind of keep some pattern of normal life going and to keep some contact beyond your own four walls. That got lost, and of course, even, you know, in the real extreme stages of the pandemic, you know, even other family members couldn't go and visit. And so, you know, I think the impact of that, from a practical point of view, but also from a loneliness and an isolation perspective, I think we can never underestimate that. And it's probably only now, as people are beginning to be more out and about, that and have contact and personal contact with people, that it's beginning to kind of come out the woodwork, really, just what a struggle has gone on behind closed doors over the last couple of years. And I don't know how long or if ever really that will totally recover. All we can do, I think, is try and move on as best we can, and offer what is out there, and try and, again, it comes down to people knowing that they can now, that there are people out there who can try and help. But it's the impact of the last couple of years has been huge. Don't underestimate it, and we don't.
We have new carer services in North Lanarkshire now that just really, really got off the ground earlier this year. And they're called Carer Breather Services. So there's funding that's come from the Council of Health and Social Care in partnership with VANEL. And we are supporting it, North Lanarkshire Carers Together, all of those organisations that have been funded. And the idea is that there are some groups that people can go to in person. Mm-hmm. There's also groups that people can still take part in online, if that's what works for them. Mm-hmm. So you're still supporting people to get that kind of socialisation factor, but absolutely, not necessarily taking them too far out of that comfort zone.
I think that's important. I'm glad to hear that that's kind of being looked at, because I think we've moved away from, well, there probably never was one size fits all, but we kind of had one model that everybody was working towards, whereas I think now there will be people who will thrive on kind of interpersonal, you know, physical one-to-one contact or one-to-30 contact, whatever they feel comfortable with. There may be others who remain anxious about that, and if we wholeheartedly move to face-to-face interaction with people, we run the risk of actually excluding a group of people who actually maybe need it more. So to be able to have a kind of hybrid system of that, if somebody feels more comfortable maybe on a Teams meeting or on a phone call or on FaceTime or something, that's all there for them.
The theme for Carers Week this year is make caring visible, valued and supported. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking how relevant that is to you and your practice in terms of, you know, having those conversations that you talked about earlier with carers to identify who has that.
Visible, valued and supported. I think it's probably whoever came up with the phrase, you know, it's right actually that the first bit is visible, because if nobody knows that somebody's in that role, then the next bits can't happen. So, you know, as well as, I suppose there's visible in the sense of respected by wider society as being that is a valid thing to be. But as it's much more peered back, it's visible as in somebody actually knows that somebody's in that caring role. And, you know, we've got a practice population of, I think it's about 10,000 patients. Now, our carers register, I can't tell you off the top of my head how many are on our current carers register, but I know for a fact that it won't be anything like the numbers of people who actually are fulfilling caring roles within our practice population. So even in our bit of Motherwell, the carers who are there are not all visible. We don't know about them all. So you multiply that up, you know, across the whole of North Lanarkshire and then beyond that, you know, to Scotland. And that first bit of the phrase, you're being visible, is we're only touching on that just now. And so it's, you know, it's only from that the rest follows on. Valued and supported means different things to different people. Valued, I mean, for some people, actually just an acknowledgement of what they're doing can make such a big difference. You know, is yes, there's the political side of thing. There's making carers valued and you know, that they are politically supported and that is important. But actually on an individual basis, somebody just saying, you know, we know that you're doing this, and actually just kind of holding their hand, metaphorically or physically, you know, just goes such a long way that it's people don't feel ignored and invisible.
It's that validation of somebody's experience, isn't it? And we know that in health and social care, that the validation of somebody's lived experience is a huge thing and goes such a long way to, like you say, helping somebody feel recognised.
Yeah, I think actually it's a very good the theme for Carers Week this time, with it being visible, valued and supported. It's actually very clever because it works on an individual's kind of own experience, and then it works, you know, in a geographical area and, you know, politically in a much broader sense. But, you know, I suppose my everyday job is with individuals, and you know, pulling it right back down to the person that's in front of me or on the phone, and you're taking it one individual at a time. My job as a GP, I'm not an expert in, you know, all the issues that the carers have and who need help with, but I do know a very good carers organisation, and you know, I think us remembering to signpost in that first part is, you know, if that's even the only thing I do with that person that day, that might be the best thing that, you know, that has happened, because it then allows people like yourself, who have a much better working knowledge of all the things that are out there, the kind of third sector, all the other organisations who are offering so many things, that if I can point somebody in that direction and then they get even a little bit of individual help and benefit for that, then that's the reward, you know, and it's worth it.
And we come back, I guess, it's a loop, isn't it, back to another level of visibility. Absolutely. Because that person has become visible to you as a GP, but then they become visible to us as a carer organisation, which then is able to support that person to become visible to local community services and really, really positive places and spaces that will support them. Yeah. So,
and I know, you know, the work that you do through the carers organisation, you know, in being an advocate for somebody and actually helping them just to access the things that they need to to be a kind of intermediary with some of the other organisations that are out there, including, you know, health and social care, and, you know, the things that people find it difficult to navigate, that a little bit of help doing that just makes such a difference.
As a GP, you're really on the front line of what people are experiencing in terms of the other conditions that they're living with. So thinking about things like the impact of poverty, the cost of living crisis that we're going into, that we know is going to affect people in the area of Motherwell really, really badly, as many people across the whole of Scotland and the UK. But bringing that back to carers who often are on really, really limited incomes because of their caring role. What are your concerns as a health professional around kind of the impact of all of that on people?
You've touched on a huge time bomb, I think, that is there. For example, you've mentioned carers often on low income, you may be unable to work lots of hours or any hours out with the home because of their caring role. And often, if they are in the house as much as that, then obviously heating and washing bills and, you know, things if somebody's, you know, maybe got continence problems. So many pools on their what are very limited resources, and everything's so negative just now with cost of living, and, you know, just the impact of that going forward. I think there are a few things that, you know, it's key again, it comes back to people being visible. If we if we're able to know who carers are, then at its most basic somebody can check that, you know, all the benefits that people are entitled to, that they are getting. You know, it's at least if we can ensure that people are getting all the things that are within their rights to have, that's a start. But I haven't got a political or a social way of solving it, but I agree with you that it is another thing to cause concern, that you know, I think there'll be health implications of that. There will be mental health implications, huge, you know, as part of that. I think all we can do is make sure that the things that people are within their rights to have, that they've got them, and that's to do. And lobbying and, you know, being advocate for not only our carers, but your patients in general, for humanity. But it's, I think this is just the tip of the iceberg for that. And it's something else for people to worry about, that, you know, so many people have enough things that they're worrying about already, and this now is not going away. And it's there, and it's not even now just in the background. It is, you know, front and foremost of people's daily experience. And there will be implications for that.
If you were giving a carer sort of initial advice on getting support for their caring role, what would that be? If, you know, for carers listening to this, what would the kind of key piece of advice be?
You're not alone. I would just encourage everybody who's in any way involved in a caring role in the North Lanarkshire area, get in touch with the North Lanarkshire Carers Together people. I've had informal contact over a good number of years now. You know, I used to be able to just pop in and have a coffee, and that's got lost over this last few while. But, you know, friendly faces, caring faces, people who are on your side and want to help, and you know, just don't be afraid to make that first contact, because it is so helpful, and, you know, it's, they're full of lovely people. And you'll just make that first call.
Thanks to Dr. Port from Modervale Practice in Motherwell for talking to us on this episode. We'll be back soon with the next instalment of the Carers Together podcast. Remember that you can get involved and take part. Contact us at inquiries@carerstogether.org if you'd like to send in ideas or even be interviewed. Here's Jane McCarry again to send us on our way.
If you help to look after a family member or friend who has a disability, long-term condition or an addiction, you are a carer. Carers can get help, you know, and are entitled to rights. If this is you, give the folks at North Lanarkshire Carers Together a ring, and they'll keep you right. because carers have to know.